started a message called Tov, T-O-V, Timothy O'Quinton Van Riper. Tov, it means good. Last week, we read the scripture in Genesis chapter 1. So as a refresher, when we talk about the word good and we sang, right? Good, good Father, your goodness is everlasting. Your mercy is everlasting. Good is not something that he does. Good is something that he is. God is good. And all the time, God is good. That's a very profound theological statement. And this word is very profound. It's just not a simple, shallow, superficial word. It is rich. It is concentrated. It is full of the character and the nature of God himself. We say good, God is good. And as you said it, God is good all the time and all the time. That is a theological statement. That's not just a cute cliche. If you know me, I said last week, I don't like cliches. We like to talk in cliches. But they do communicate truths. And this idea of God being good is a profound truth, that he is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And so we read Genesis 1. I'm just going to make reference to some of Genesis 1. I'm not going to read all of it like I did last week. But in the beginning, God created, this is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so God comes to, you'll see this picture a lot in Scripture. God comes to chaos and disorder, and he brings order, and he brings purpose. What is the flood story? The flood story is a regression of the creation story. It is the earth going from order to disorder. Okay? Jesus tells parables that talk about this idea. He said you can build on foundations, and if you build on sand, if you hear my words, my truth, who I am to you, who you are, and you live according to that reality, my reality, not your own reality, our reality, not your own reality, you will build your house upon a rock, and your life will, the fruit of it will be good and orderly. Okay? But if you live according to your own perception, your own reality, your own ideas of good and evil, your own ideas of life and prosperity, flourishing, success, then what happens is when life comes at you, it will go from order to disorder, right? He's talking about a storm coming, right? And so it goes, it's this theme of God, this Tov that we're reading about takes things and brings them into purpose and enables them to flourish, and not only for their own life, but to give life to other parts harmoniously to the creation. So the Spirit of God hovers over the face of the earth. And what happens when the Spirit of God, he starts to bring order? Let there be light. Light was. Light, God called the light day, darkness night. That was the first day. Then there was an expanse in the midst of the waters, and he separated the waters. And the expanse he separated were above and below. And God called the expanse above heaven. And that was the morning, evening and morning of the second day. Notice also that in the creation account, what comes first? Day, night, evening, or morning? Evening. Okay, evening is first. Wise evening first. Again, the same picture that the Father's trying to reveal is that God takes darkness and brings light until it brings into the fullness of day. Things start out dark and they come to light. Things start out in disorder and they come to order. That's why the Jewish day starts at sundown. Holidays are celebrated at dinner time. That was the second day. And then God said, let dry land appear, and he called that earth, and the waters were gathered to the, and he called them seas, and God saw that it was good. There's that word, good. Also, I want to draw your attention again to God is separating things and he's giving them names. When you name something, it's because you have been given responsibility over it. You named your kids. You buy a house, if you want to name your property, you name it. You start a business, you name it. Okay, so God is naming things because he's creating them. But the reason I bring this up is because, remember, God creates everything and he parades all the animals in front of Adam and he says, what do you want to call them? And whatever Adam wanted to call them, that's what they were called. It's because God is inviting humanity into the creative process and giving us responsibility over it. Therefore, he gives us the authority and that responsibility to name. So then God let the earth sprout vegetables and plants, yielding seed, fruit trees with their seed, according to its own kind. So here's another picture of the tov, things that produce after their own kind. God is separating things and he's giving uniqueness, not to create division, but to create an opportunity for uniqueness, to celebrate that uniqueness. Notice that in Revelation, John says, I see a multitude that cannot be numbered. And he's talking about people. And what has he said? He said, I can see them. They're from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. So we are not going to lose our uniqueness. He sees that in this beautiful big picture of a redeemed humanity, that there is still uniqueness of nationality, tribe, and tongue. One of the things that I shared about last week, which we'll get to again, is that in the fullness of Tov, God gives these kinds and the seed in these kinds so that it can multiply and continue in this multiplicity of the fullness of Tov, that God just doesn't create and then it stops. Jesus said this, I've called you that you might bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. How does fruit remain? By it seed falling into the ground. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, he was talking about himself, it abides alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. So this principle of life, death, and resurrection is within the tov of life. And that Jesus comes and he gives his life as a seed so that all of humanity can bring forth fruit. So in this idea of tov too, these kinds bring forth the same kind. Inside the apple is apple seeds. Inside the cherry is a cherry seed. I live on Dogwood, in Dogwood Acres. Does that sound like a lovely place? Dogwood. Everybody has a dogwood tree in front of their house. One tree. It's an HOA. It's a townhouse association. And so it's Dogwood Acres. And so one year I decided to prune back my dogwood tree aggressively, being ignorant of the reality that you cannot prune all trees the same, because in my experience, I had only pruned maples. And maples, you can literally like cut them back to almost nothing and they just, boom, explode back to life. Well, This dogwood did not appreciate my aggressive pruning, and it died. So as you drove down Dogwood Street, you would see a dogwood in front of every property except one. And that would have been my house. But, and I even stood over the tree and I said, I apologize to the tree. I said, I'm sorry, I was a terrible husbandman. I didn't know what I was doing. Please forgive me. And so, every year it got these, if I could describe them, cherry-like seed on them, and they would drop, but they had like little spikies on them. And lo and behold, one took hold, and it was growing, and so I was watching it, nurturing it, hoping to transplant it into the same spot that the old dogwood was, and it's flourishing. It's right now, it's probably about 7-8 feet tall, but it's in the wrong place. But guess what happened? Either the tree didn't die or another seed took hold right under the stump. I'm assuming it's part of the original tree. It was in the root system. And now I have two dogwoods. I'm the only one on the street with two dogwoods. Because of the beauty of Tove. I mean, how many years ago did God create the very first seed that life is now in my front yard, that it still can, this tov still continues, right? And so the reason, an oak didn't come up. A maple didn't come up. A cherry tree didn't come up. An orange tree didn't come up. You know, not, why did a dogwood tree come up? Because God said after its kind. And it's meant to flourish after. So the reason I said all that is because after the service, Tim came up to me. He said, you know, I was thinking about the kind and how God created it to be good and to multiply. And if you think about when a horse and a donkey, when a horse and a donkey mate, they create a mule. And the mule is non-reproductive. Okay? So in that reality, so God even puts the reproductive ability into his creation, but his purpose is this multiplication of it. But yet, is the mule bad? Should we take the mule out in the backyard and put a gun to his head and just put him out of his misery? No. No. We love the mule. We nurture the mule. It's righteous to take care of the mule. But there's something in that process that didn't meet all the fullness of God's desire and plan. Okay? So does this happen in life? When we look at Tove in its complete fullness, in its complete harmonious synchronicity of creation, it has so many aspects, and we like to take one aspect and we go, this is what's wrong with you. This is your problem. Right? When all of us are you functioning fully, would you say, in Tove? Would you say you have apprehended the Christ likeness that God has planned for you? That you are exemplifying in your tree of righteousness? I mean, there's so much fruit of the Spirit on you that God has to prop up pieces of wood. You know how when fruit trees fill up so much, you got to prop them up or they'll hurt themselves. Right? Are you just so full of the fruit of the Spirit that you're just apprehended? You are now all in all. You are in God, and there's no work left for you to be done on you? Of course not. So quit looking at other people's trees and being the fruit inspector. Let the Holy Spirit create Tove in them, in his time and in his way and in his patience. His mercy is everlasting. So kinds, verse 20, let the waters swarm with swarms, living creatures. God created the great sea creatures according to their kind, every bird after its kind. God saw that it was good. All right, so I'm going to jump all the way down here. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. This is the uniqueness to humanity. All of creation is wonderful and good, and that did not change in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It did not change. Creation is still good. It's just what was introduced because man was given the participation and given authority and responsibility. It now brought in this the opportunity for the opposite of Tov, which we'll look at. So man was made in the image of God. He was created male and female. He created them. Notice everything was separated. Everything was made in opposites. Hello? Male and female now. Okay, did you ever hear of the book or read the book? Men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. Okay, good, a few. Okay, another book would be women are from Venus, men are from Mars. Okay, why are we different? Why do we see things differently? And I realize this isn't across the board, but as a whole, it's true. Why are we different? Not just physiologically, not just our bodies, not just our biology, but why are we different? Why do we think differently? Why do we see through different eyes? Because God was making pairs. And His glory that fills the earth, He made them in His image, male and female. So there's the image of God in you ladies that is unique and particular to God that we don't have. Same the other way. Me and my family like to cruise. And so for the past 25 years, we've been participating in cruises. And so we've seen the evolution of the cruise line industry and participated in it. And so one of those things is the embarkation process. And so when you go on a cruise, in the olden days, what you would do is you would say, oh, my cruise leaves Sunday at 4 p.m. I have to be on the ship but at the latest by 2, so I'll just go at 11 and then I'll get lunch. So 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 to 6,000 people would just show up at the cruise port and it would be a madhouse. So how they would organize that is through zones. They would give you a zone number, you would go sit in your zone, and you would wait to be called. Not like that anymore. Now they have a different process. Now you create a arrival appointment long before you come. Do you want to come between 9:30 and 9:45? Do you want to come between 9:45 and 10? All the way up to 2. It has so revolutionized the embarkation process that it's actually enjoyable now. So the reason I tell you that story is this is how I believed it happened. The board of directors were sitting around, or the people who make these decisions were sitting around, and there was probably about 11 men and finally maybe one woman. And they finally looked over at Peggy. They said, hey, Peggy. Do you have anything you'd like to contribute? Do you have anything that would make our embarkation process better? And she said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Thanks for asking. And then she shared her opinion, and it revolutionized it. Ladies, you have the ability to see things we don't. You have the ability to... Some men can multitask. We just unravel. Because we're in our waffle. We want to be in our box. We want to, okay. But God is both. And we celebrate the distinctions. And they say, opposites attract. And that's what happens at first. And then after you're together for a while, then opposites attack. Because you lose the understanding of the celebration of the differences. But it's the glory of God. It's God made you that way, differently. So male and female, and he said to the male and the female, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion over the earth, over every fruit of the sea, over everything. And then, finally, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made. Everybody say everything. Okay, he wasn't looking at one thing. He wasn't looking at a few things. He wasn't looking at the majority of things. He was looking at everything that he had made. And it was, for the first time, very good. Tov exponentially. Why? Because God didn't just create all things as isolated, created things. He created them in a way that harmoniously, in harmony, and by symbiosis, that they would give life to one another, and that they would work together as a great symphony, as he was the creative conductor, and it would give tov to themselves and to the whole. Important to recognize, especially as we begin to explore. So what, Lord, why am I here? One of the big of life's questions. What's my purpose? You're here because God made you. You came into this generation. You were born today in this generation rather than 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, which I thank God for all the time. But he created you to participate and to join him in the increase of tov. To enjoy the goodness of him and to learn to trust in his goodness. And then you participate into the degree you can trust his goodness is the degree that you will participate in tov to bring life to the whole. Light was good. Land and sea were good. Plants, good. Day and night, good. Again, we could take years talking about these things. What do you know about plants? About give and taking. What do you know about? They're opposites. Well, how are they opposites? Exactly. Okay, so that's probably the one that comes to mind, right? God created a plant to breathe what we exhale. And then they take what we don't need and what is not good for us, and then they take it, and it's good for them and gives life to them, and then they give back what's life to us. Oxygen. And this cycle of tov just happens. Right? That's why it's good to have plants and trees and all types of vegetation around you. I'm not getting any oxygen from these. They look pretty, but they're good, right? They're good. They serve a purpose. They're aesthetically pleasing to the eye. There's nothing wrong with that. Or maybe you think they look like funeral flowers. Whatever. Okay, but they're a purpose. Do you notice just logistically? Okay, just looking now with an artist's eye, if you have that capacity. They break up a plane. They create an aesthetic, whether you're conscious of it or not, that creates a pleasing sensation to your eye just by being there. That's good. If you study art, you'll notice that an artist always wants to take you into, in a cyclical motion, into a painting. And they will normally put the lightest paint and the lightest spot into the area they want to take you into. And that's why in art you won't see, like all of a sudden up in this corner, just this blatant thing that draws your eye. Because the artist had a plan. The artist had a purpose to draw you in aesthetically, and it's pleasing. You might not even know why. So this is tov. But is it completely tov? No, because it's not giving me oxygen for my carbon dioxide. But it's good. Okay? I've talked about this idea of Tov with my fish tanks that are in my office. The joke in my house is want to see my fish? I always say that to my family. Want to see me? They're like, no. No, we do not want to see your fish. We don't want to talk about your fish. We don't care about your fish. You have fun with your fish. My father had fish growing up. I can still see them, those little coolie loaches that can swim at what seems to be 30 miles an hour in a little tank. And they're so fast, they would jump out of the tank and die. In the morning, they'd be jerky. But anyway, I never took an interest in fish other than enjoyed them as my father took care of them when I was growing up. And then I had a fish tank when I was a new parent because I wanted my children to just have something in the house that they could enjoy like that. That was a story of death. But anyway, so I've had this itch over the last 3 to 4 years to get fish again. And it was just, I don't know if it's to just relive some of my childhood or to, and honor my dad who passed 5 years. I don't know, whatever it is. I've got this itch to get fish. So I go to the store, I get fish tank, I set it up, and the next day I go buy 6 guppies and 6 neon tetras, and I put them in the tank, and I come back the next day, and 6 neon tetras are dead. I don't know why. You know why I don't know why? Because I'm absolutely ignorant of Tov. And I was absolutely ignorant of the harmony and the symbiosis and the creative genius that God is with a fish tank. So I went to a different store and I said, hey, I want to get a catfish for my tank. And he said, how long have you had the tank? And I said, 2 days. And he said, I'm not going to sell you a catfish. I said, why? He said, there's nothing for the catfish to eat. I said, oh, okay. I said, let me ask you this. I said, I bought 6 guppies and 6 neon tetras, and the 6 neon tetras died. And he goes, I'm not surprised. I said, why? He said, well, first off, neon tetras are very temperamental, and they're very delicate creatures. And they're very susceptible to change of environment and change of water quality and water ecology. He said, how long has your tank, you've had your tank for how long? I said, 2 days. He said, okay, so there's this thing called the nitrogen cycle. And he says, you have to learn about that or your fish aren't going to do well. You're probably going to die. So think nitrogen cycle like we just described the plants. Okay, a plant, the way God, one thing about a plant, not the probably million things about a plant that are cool that God created, but one thing about a plant is that it takes carbon dioxide and gives oxygen, right? So think of that idea with the nitrogen cycle. Okay, so fish produce waste and food that doesn't get eaten produces waste and it produces ammonia. Ammonia is very toxic. So how do you get ammonia out of a tank? So the way that God created it in Tov is that eventually there are these bacteria, these good bacteria that eat ammonia. And they turn it into nitrites. And nitrites are extremely toxic to fish. Then how am I going to get nitrites out of this tank? Well, after time, eventually new bacteria starts to grow and it eats nitrites. So you have the fish producing waste, you have food, uneaten food producing waste, you've got good bacteria that God created that's eating ammonia, that's turning it into nitrites, and then the other good bacteria eats the nitrites and turns them into nitrates. And guess what about nitrates? They're not as toxic to fish. They can handle it, but eventually they can build up and become toxic. So how do you get rid of nitrates? Live plants eat nitrates. Tov. And if you can create an ecology in the nitrogen cycle, you rarely, if ever, have to change your water because of Tov. Do you know right now you are a living cycle of life and death? Do you know right now there's bacteria in your gut? Yeah, I came to church and I got a biology lesson. No, this is Tov. There's good bacteria in your gut that God has created, and that as those bacteria eat things in you that are not good for you, and they release things that are. You have red blood cells and white blood cells. You have things inside you that God created that attack intruders. Tov. What is my purpose in life? Your purpose, you've been given a purpose. You have been created to participate uniquely in some area of Tov where you are the answer to someone's problem. Again, forgive me if this flips you out. You are the yin to someone's yang. You are the night to someone's day. You are the ebb to someone's flow. You are the life to someone's death. Probably a key to finding out what your part of the process is what bothers you. What frustrates you? What do you have eyes to see that when you see it, you go, why doesn't somebody? And that somebody might just be you. So plants are good. Day and night's good. Sea animals and birds are good. Land animals are good. Humanity is good. Very good. In harmony with the whole. Very, very good. So when all the intricate harmonies of creation are formed, God says they are very good. God is good. They're an expression of his goodness, who he is. Remember the seraphim and the cherubim, Isaiah chapter 6. What do they say? Holy, holy, holy. What does holy mean? It doesn't just mean he's perfect. It doesn't just mean he's just and we're not. It just doesn't mean he's sinless. I think that's the category we put it in. Sinless. He's holy. No, he's whole. He's altogether lovely. There's no shadow at his turning. He is complete and utter. He is good. And so what do the seraphim and the cherubim say? It says to one another, he's whole. He's amazing. And they say what? The whole earth is full of his glory. They're seeing some aspect of this idea of Tov and this harmony that goes together, and they just cry out. So God brings all of that into one area, right? The whole earth wasn't Eden. Eden had boundaries. And God puts the image of himself in the temple of Eden. Hello? Because you always put an image inside a temple because that's where the worship takes place. There's an image bearer in the temple of Eden who's been given the authority and dominion over the whole earth. But right now, the only part that is this beautiful harmony of goodness is Eden. And what does God say? Fill the whole earth. And that doesn't change. So Jesus comes. I'm jumping way ahead. But Jesus comes. And what does he say to his disciples? Go into all the earth and get people to say a prayer. Get them saved. Now that's an introduction. But then it is to understand as you begin to be discipled by the Holy Spirit and to be discipled by those who are also learning by the Spirit what it is to enter into the kingdom and learn to bring God's will on earth as it is in heaven is to function in this tov, to function in the life-giving nature of God as you participate and walk with God in every area you find yourself. So Eden was this tov. It had everything necessary for abundance and the multiplication of life. And in the center of Eden was a tree, actually two trees, the tree of life. And we know that that tree of life, as we see the progression of Scripture, that tree of life is God himself. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't participate. You have to sit down at a table with me and eat and participate in life. In him was life, and life was the light of men. We know that the tree of, in Revelation, it says there's trees of life and has the healing, the leaves are for the healing of the nations. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In him we live and move and have our being. He's the vine, we're the branches connected to life. So they could eat from the tree of life, which was participating in relationship with God, or they could eat from another tree. And what was the other tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, so here's where we start to develop what is the opposite of tov, or the lack of tov, when tov is absent, and when we, instead of participating with life, we choose to do it in our own wisdom, our own strength, our own knowledge, our own ability. We decide definitions. We decide what is harmonious, what works together, what doesn't. So Ra, the tree of the knowledge of Tov and Ra. Tov, good, Ra, translated evil. Just like Tov, with the word good is not a complete picture of the word. So evil for Ra is also not, it's just evil superficial. It's just a word that has much more meaning to it than just the word evil, bad. It is the antithesis to Tov. It is the shadow of Tov. It is the anti-Tov. So Tov carries this idea of function, purpose, ability, harmony with other creation. It recognizes that it takes and it gives. Tov recognizes that it has to die so that life can be given. Dysfunction, Ra, is this individualistic mindset through which it sees itself as its own provider, its own savior, its own world of provision and protection. And it constantly is looking for number one. It doesn't function in self-giving, other-centered love. It's constantly thinking, how does this benefit me? How can I flourish by this? So Ra also isn't just an action of anti-Tov. It's also the dismissal of action. It's instead of it, like there are sins of commission, there's also sins of omission. When I know to do good, but I don't. So when Jesus told the parable of the man on the Jericho road, And the man was left to dead. And what did the priest and the Levite do? Did they do evil or did they lack to do good? They lacked to do good. And so the whole reason Jesus is telling this parable is because Jesus said, what are the two great commandments? And the guy answered and said, is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you've answered well, go and do that. And then the man, real snickety, said, well, who's my neighbor? He was probably thinking logistically, you know, like the person who lives next to me. So Jesus was trying to open his heart to this idea that you are your brother's keeper, regardless of where you find him or her or it. You are your brother's keeper. Jesus takes it further. Jesus takes it further and deeper. And he says, when you have done it to the least, you've done it to me. That's how connected this tov is, even so that God is a part, and the man who is heaven and earth man, the man who is the incarnation who brought heaven and earth together, so much so that the little thing you do to participate in tov, you are participating in the God tov. And that when you look at an image bearer and you judge them in your heart, you have judged God. It is, this word tov, it is so intense, but it's so beautiful and so encompassing. So this idea of function, dysfunction. So the opposite of tov here, I'm just going to blow through these for the sake of time. Self-preservation, individualism, power. How does God use his power? How does goodness use his power? So Jesus, when all authority in heaven and earth had been given unto him, first thing he did, washed feet. But the opposite of tov, who's going to wash my feet? Who's going to give me honor? Did you just disrespect me? I deserve respect. This whole idea of the shadow. Celebrity. I am somebody. God uses all this stuff. I'll just say this. Learn how to not chase celebrity. And I don't just mean famous people. Don't chase gifts. Are there reasons for people to leave? I hate to use the word churches here, but so you'll understand what I'm saying. Are there reasons why some people feel the need to leave an assembly and go to another assembly and that it's God and it's kingdom? Yes. But a lot of times it's they're chasing something that they're noticing they're not getting met. And so they chase a gift, they chase a provision, they chase something that they have their need met. That is not the reason to leave an assembly. That is not the reason to leave a relationship, right? That's not a reason to get a divorce. Competition for attention. Toxicity, all these things create toxicity. Control through fear. Abuse of authority. Manipulation. Demands of loyalty. Usury. I'm in the process of taking all of my mom's bills and putting them into auto pay. Because one of the things that frustrates her to no end, my father did all the finances, and so one of the things that is a burr in her saddle is paying bills. Because her fear is she'll miss one. She thinks the world collapses when you miss paying a bill. Because she just wasn't the one who did that. So I'm in the process of changing all her stuff to auto pay, and her situation is unique because of her frustration, it's very real, is because she spends half the year in Florida and half the year here. So some of her bills just get caught up in the shift when she changes her mail. So it happens. But anyway, the reason I'm telling you this is I was looking at her credit card statement, and she's never late on that payment. But if you are, right there on the statement, it said 29.99%. 29, usury. 30% interest. And I stopped what we were doing and I looked at her and I said, where are our public servants? Where are our people in positions of authority that are not saying this is robbery? And why are they not putting a limit on these banks to say this is how much you're allowed to charge people? Ridiculous. 30%. Usury. But it also happens in relationships. Oh, you'll pay. You're going to pay for that. I am going to hold that, what you did, over your head for leverage for the next 20 years. Secrecy, right? As opposed to truth. Things that are done in darkness. Why? Why are they done in darkness? Because I want to gain the benefit from what's going on, and if what happens gets out, I won't be able to manipulate and control the situation with my insider relationship trading to be able to continue to use you for my benefit. Unhealthy corporate-like atmosphere. This is not a knock on corporate America. This is just a state. I probably could have worded it better. But what I'm saying is that we're a family. We're not a business. We're not, the goal isn't the bottom line. When the goal is the bottom line, you're gonna make decisions based on that. The goal is not the bottom line in Kingdom Tov. The bottom line is life. And I realize and I recognize that we're all made differently, and some of you have a more prophetic bent. I don't mean prophetic like you speak prophetically, I mean, you see things black and white. You see things, there's no gray area for some of you, and that's how God made you, and that's okay. But the problem with that is that black and white don't always work in relationship. Relationships get messy. And love covers a lot of black and white. Or let me say it this way, love covers a multitude of sins. And so it's easy to make statements of Tov and Ra, statements of this is good and that's bad, and that this is what I would do, and then all of a sudden now your child is the one that's involved in it, and things change because it's your child. And you handle it differently. You handle it with love because it's family. The opposite of Tov, all those things. Narcissistic behavior. The Mayo Clinic offers us a helpful description of narcissistic behavior and how it produces toxicity. Someone who is narcissistic, raw, to its fullest extent is narcissism, has an inflated, listen to these words, has an inflated sense of their own importance, a deep need for excessive attention and admiration, and a lack of empathy for others. And behind that mask of extreme confidence is a fragile self-esteem that is vulnerable to the slightest criticisms. Okay, now compare that to, like, say, Philippians chapter 2. Okay, so compare that, what you just heard raw, compare this to Tov. This is the nature of God. Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but rather consider others more important than yourself. And let this mind be in you, that is also in Christ Jesus. So this is how God thinks. Okay. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who did not consider his equality with God, he's God, a thing to be held on to, but he emptied himself. Kenosis. Self-emptying. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a man. The creator became the creation. This is Tov. The emptying of oneself, the giving of oneself. And taking on the form of a man, he took on the form of a servant. And being found in the likeness of a servant, he gave himself to the point of death. Even the death of the worst kind of death that mankind has made, the death of the cross. Tov gives itself. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Did Jesus give himself that name? Did Jesus strive for that name? No, Father gives him that name because he empties himself. This idea of the cycle of death that brings life and the symbiosis and harmony that happens. Therefore, God hath given him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. How many knees? Every knee will gladly, the scripture word means, gladly declare his name above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, gladly confess him as Lord to the glory, not for his own, to the glory of God the Father. Father gives name, Jesus gives it back, the Spirit executes it, we participate, and this Tov just continues. So, Father is creating a culture, a humanity of good. Everyone is invited to participate. Do you know what those are? Pez dispensers. These brought me back to my childhood. Pez dispensers. We are like Tov dispensers. That's what we are. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. He's the good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? Does he hang out with all the sheep and he just, no, what does he do? He finds out one is gone, so he goes and he gives his life for the life of the one in need. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. He's the good shepherd. Taste and see that the Lord is good. A family produces, I'm just rushing through these because I'm not going to do this again next week. Family produces Tov. Tov is active. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And after all, the gospel is good news. It's Tov news. So you are a part of Tov, the cyclical motion, as a grace dispenser, and God will give you every ounce of his resources as you participate with him in Tov. Amen. Let's bow our hearts together. Father, we thank you that as we just begin to scratch the surface of these things, that you give revelation. We don't just want knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. But love edifies. Love builds up. Lord, let us not seek a name. Let us not seek a platform. Let us not seek popularity or celebrity. Let us seek to be a part in the niche, in the cog, in the framework of what you have created us to be, in this beautiful image of Tov. You are the great conductor of this symphony. You have given us all instruments and abilities, talents, personalities. You've given us our culture, our family, our jobs, our spheres of influence. Father, give us a revelation, give us an apocalypse, an epiphany, to be able to see our part. And let us rest in that you who have started this good work, you also complete it. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And all things are working together for good. And Lord, you are reconciling all things in heaven and in earth unto yourself, into this Tov. And we long for the day when this will be complete and you will be all in all. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven through me. As much as it depends on me, let me live at peace with all men. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons and daughters of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.